With that, good morning, everyone. I'd like to bring this April 21st hearing of the K-12 Education Finance Committee to order. Welcome, everyone. Remote hearings such as this are possible thanks to a newly passed Rule 10.01. This rule has been posted online and is linked in our public meeting notice on the House website. All remote hearings will be recorded and live streamed by House Public Information Services, and we thank House Public Information for all of their efforts during this extraordinary time. Members have the contents of today's documents in their virtual packets available to them, and for the public, these materials have been posted online on the committee's webpage. Members, if you're looking for all these items in one place, they are attached in the calendar event that you received from Ms. Burt. To get on the list to be recognized by the chair, members using the Zoom interface have the ability to raise their hand via the app. Ms. Burt will place your name on the list to be recognized. If a member is on their phone and doesn't have access to the raise your hand feature, please email Ms. Burt and she will put your question in the queue. This is the digital equivalent of getting the attention of the chair or the CA during a face-to-face committee hearing. An email from your House account with the subject line, "Please recognize," is all that is required if you're on your phone. Ms. Sunderland will now take an oral roll call of members. The committee administrator will be unmuting members now. Please minimize any background noise.
Representative Dabney.
Present.
Representative Sandsted.
Present.
Representative Kreisha.
Present.
Representative Bennett.
Present.
Representative Daniels.
Present.
Representative DeMith.
Present.
Representative Detmer.
Present.
Representative Edelson.
Present.
Representative Erickson.
Present.
Representative Hewitt.
Present.
Representative Juergens.
Present.
Representative Katiza Watoon.
Present.
Representative Kanesh Padin.
Present.
Representative Marquardt.
Present.
Representative Murphy.
Present.
Representative Nornes.
Present.
Representative Pryor. Representative Pryor. Representative Richardson.
Present.
Representative Sandell.
Present.
Representative Joachim.
Present.
And we do have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Sunderland. Members, you're all now muted again. The items in your folders are as follows: the meeting agenda for today, the House research summary for the first engrossment of House File 4415, the Pelsby portion of the fiscal note of House File 4415, amendments A14 through A18 for House File 4415, a letter from the Minnesota School Bus Operators of Minnesota, the House research summary of House File 3192. These items are also posted on the committee webpage in an OCR compatible format. Are there any members' questions? Hearing and seeing none, I will now hand the gavel over, if such as it is, to Representative Sandsted to chair the next portion of the meeting. Thank you, Representative Sandsted.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. Next on the agenda, we will be hearing House File 4415. An informational hearing of HF 4415 was heard in this committee on April 7th. The content of our discussion today will focus on the new amendment before us. Chair Dabney, would you like to make a motion to move House File 4415 before the committee with a recommendation it be referred to Ways and Means?
I so move, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Representative Dabney makes a motion to move House File 4415 before the committee with a recommendation that it be referred to Ways and Means. Before we get to our testimony and amendments today, Ms. Adrians, would you like to speak to the fiscal note that is in process for House File 4415?
Members, I would. Thank you, Chair, and good morning, everybody. So we don't have a fully complete fiscal note quite yet. We are still waiting on MDE's portion of the fiscal note. What they have told us is that we should expect the same as the previous fiscal note, that there will be no cost. And if anything, there might be what they're trying to determine is if there will be some savings to different programs, like we spoke about before, the literary incentive aid program, and possibly with the statewide testing assessments. But they are trying to take their time and make sure that they do sort of a proper analysis and make sure it's correct. What we do have is PELSB has completed their portion of the fiscal note, and previously with different language, there was a cost to the PELSB portion. With this language, there is no longer a cost to the changes that would be required for PELSB. So, so I think that that's as much information as we have right now. And I think we hopefully will expect to get the completed fiscal note this week.
Thank you very much for that. It looks like Representative Kreisha has a question. Representative Kreisha.
Yeah, thank you. Just a quick procedural one. I know, Madam Chair and Chair Dabney, we had talked about the voting. Did you want to cover that just so everyone's clear so we don't run into an audio or technical problem?
Thank you, Representative Kreisha. I believe all of our voting today is going to be a roll call vote just to ensure that if people are having trouble with audio issues that it's on the record. And Representative Dabney, if I'm incorrect, feel free to correct me on that.
You nailed it, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Okay. Anything else, Representative Kreisha?
I just would say, and a reminder to our members, that we'll be ready and be efficient. So, because I think you're under a time constraint, we want to make sure we hit that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Good advice for all of us. Representative Dabney, I understand you have a series of author's amendments to get the bill into the shape that you would like. Could you please explain the A-17 amendment first?
The A-17 amendment is a technical amendment that corrects some drafting errors in the A-14 amendment. So, Madam Chair, what I would like to do is move the A-14 amendment and incorporate the A-17 into the amendment if there's no objection.
Hearing no objection, the A-14 is incorporated. Is incorporated. Representative Dabney, could you explain the components of the A-14 as incorporated?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The A-14 has some technical corrections language in it, some definition clarifications that we thought were important to clarify the bill. The more substantive portions of the bill is Section 1, expanding the accessibility of the Regional Library Telecommunications Aid. This is an existing aid revenue form that we appropriate money for, but it allows it to be used for improved internet access or access to technology beyond E-rate uses. This is in response to the issues that a number of districts and students and families are having getting reliable internet access to be able to complete e-learning opportunities. We want to expand those opportunities through this mechanism. If you go down to subdivisions 10 and 11, it allows funds that are in the base and have been appropriated by us but are not currently accessible to districts to become accessible to districts. And specifically, that is school age care revenue, because districts are not generally providing that beyond the school age children of tier one first responders, and early childhood screening aid. Members will recognize that we provide funding incentives for school districts to do screening with preschool children Obviously, no district is providing those screening opportunities because of social distancing requirements at this time. We, again, want districts to be able to access a full amount of revenues that would be available to them so that they can complete the other obligations in the bill of making sure that our hourly employees in the state school system, in the state schools, are adequately compensated during this distance learning period. With that, Madam Chair, I would move the A14 with the A17 amendment incorporated.
Okay, members, are there any questions for Representative Dabney right now on the A14 amendment? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of the A14 as incorporated to get the bill in the shape that the author desires, please say aye. Those opposed are going to say nay. And at this time, the clerk is going to take the roll.
Representative Dabney.
Aye.
Representative Sandsted.
Aye.
Representative Kreisha.
Aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Aye.
Representative DeMith.
Aye.
Representative Davis. Representative Detmer.
Aye, aye.
Representative Edelson.
Aye.
Representative Edelson.
Sorry, I just answered. I'm doing, yes, aye.
Aye. Representative Erickson. Representative Erickson.
Aye.
Representative Hewitt.
Aye.
Representative Juergens.
Aye.
Representative Katiza Watoon.
Aye.
Representative Kanesh Padin.
Aye.
Representative Marquardt.
Aye.
Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Nornes.
Aye.
Representative Pryor.
Aye.
Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Representative Sandell.
Aye.
Representative Joachim.
Aye.
And Representative Damath.
Aye.
Perfect. I have all the votes. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Dabney, I understand you have some testifiers to speak to the A14 amendment as incorporated. Just a reminder to our testifiers, please keep your comments to the content of the A14 amendment. We have previously heard the underlying bill, and we're focusing on deliberations today on the amendments being offered. Representative Dabney, before we go on, I'm going to have Ms. Sunderland report how many ayes and how many nays.
I had 20 ayes and zero nays.
Very good. Thank you for that. Representative Dabney, would you like to go ahead and it looks like if I have other testifiers, please let me know, but it looks like we have Scott Rees, the Executive Director of the Metropolitan Library Service Agency.
Yes.
Please introduce yourself. Welcome to the committee and proceed with your testimony.
All right. Thank you. I'm Scott Vries, and as you said, I'm Executive Director for the Metropolitan Library Service Agency. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Dabney, for this opportunity to express the library community's support for Amendment A14 to this legislation. First section of that amendment does address regional library telecommunication aid for regional libraries in the state. my organization, MELSA, works collaboratively with metro area public libraries to maximize the collective impact of local and state dollars in delivering library services in the metro area. I'm not only representing the 8 metro area library systems, but also the regional libraries statewide, all of whom support this legislative change. So today I'm asking for your support for this change to Regional Library Telecommunication Aid, which is the legislation that helps fund regional libraries' internet access and related technology resources. We're requesting a change in the statutory language that will allow for expanded uses of those technology funds that are already allocated. We're not asking for additional dollars, only that library systems be given greater flexibility and latitude in allowable uses for that fund. It's a policy change, not a request for additional funds, so it's revenue neutral. The change being proposed would continue to prioritize basic broadband access, which is fundamental to the delivery of technology access and library resources in the state. However, we have an opportunity to expand those allowable uses to include other technology resources that would really be of great benefit to our communities, especially now. Right now, libraries across the state are finding really innovative ways of meeting the needs of our communities during the pandemic. We're experimenting with new service models. We're building on existing digital offerings, which include virtual library programs, expanding our collections of ebooks and e-audiobooks, providing curbside pickup of library materials, and enhancing remote access to educational resources that our communities so desperately need. With the spotlight that this situation places on those distant services, we're seeing a real need for additional technology tools to help deliver those services. Expanding the allowable uses of RLTA funds would enable our member libraries to, for example, add additional hotspots so families could access the internet from home, add additional high-demand ebooks for our digital collections, especially for our youth services offerings, and invest in other learning platforms and the technology backbone that can deliver those services to our communities. Flexibility in those uses would allow us to better partner with the schools in order to better deliver educational support in a distance learning environment. And for these reasons, we're urging you to support Amendment A14. Thanks for your time, and thanks for your consideration of the amendment.
Thank you very much for that. It looks like our next testifier is Michelle Kofa, Policy Manager from Ed Allies. Ms. Kofa?
Good morning. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Michelle Kofa, and I'm the Policy Manager at Ed Allies, an advocacy organization that works to advance the educational equity and remove barriers so that all Minnesota students can receive a rigorous and engaging education. I'm here to express my support for A14 Amendment to HS 4415. We are thrilled to see Representative Davini include language on the Regional Library Telecommunications Aid. This is a timely response to the needs of students during the time of COVID-19. This amendment would effectively improve the internet access and access to technology for students who need these resources to learn. With over 17% of students in Minnesota not having access to internet to fully engage in distance learning and higher concentrations among our low-income and rural students, expanding the library telecommunication aid will free up much-needed funds so schools can provide for their students, making distance learning more equitable, accessible, and engaging. This expansion shows that our legislature is concerned with how kids are learning right now. Over the last 2 months, Ed Allies conducted a survey among students and their families and educators to better understand what is needed to implement distance learning plans successfully. Access to technology, both devices and internet, were ranked at the top. We've heard stories of students sharing one device between multiple siblings and spotty internet connections, forcing lessons and early or not to begin. We're glad to see the committee prioritize these immediate needs as it thinks through more ways that we can be meeting the needs of students. While A14 is a great first step, we encourage the legislature to continue to think proactively about ways to supplement these funds to meet the immediate needs of Minnesota students, including resources for English language learners and students with special needs, solving for learning loss and access to mental health services and nutrition. Thank you, Representative Davini, for including this amendment. Our students are being asked to sacrifice a lot while they're adapting to a new way of learning, and it's important that we continue to provide them the resources that they need to succeed. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'll be available for questions.
Thank you, Ms. Kofa. Members, I think we're going to just save any kind of questions till the end, if that's okay. We're going to hear from our testifiers first. And next on our list, we have Laura Strand, a junior and senior high art teacher from Pine City High School. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Strand. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony. It looks like we're having some technical difficulty, so your patience is appreciated. While we're working on this technical issue, members, I can just point out in your packet, you have a letter from the Minnesota School Bus Operators Association. My understanding is that letter is in place of Mr. McMahon's testimony, which was listed on the agenda. So if you have any questions on that, we can take that up, but please see that letter. We're still working on our technical issue. Hang tight.
Hi. Okay. I didn't catch what you said.
Oh, welcome. I've introduced you. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Okay. Good morning, Chair and committee members. I hope you can hear me okay. My name is Laura Strand, and I'm a teacher at Pine City High School. I've been a teacher for 9 years, and 7 of them have been in Minnesota. I moved to Pine City 2 years ago, and I grew up in a different part of rural Minnesota. I have not dealt with internet problems like this since the 90s when I was in high school. Currently, I pay quite a lot for satellite internet, but it works basically when it wants to. This company stated that they intend to prioritize education platforms for anyone teaching and learning from home during this time. Unfortunately, this is not the case. I cannot share a simple Google document from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. or check out each day on Google Forms with my principal. The current pandemic we are in has shined a really bright light on the substantial deficits that exist around adequate access to the internet in the most rural parts of Minnesota. At the high school, there are many students on the no internet access list. It's a long list. This means that teachers are preparing both digital content online and printed materials for students that need to be dispersed on a weekly basis. And as educators, we believe in teaching for equity. If not all students are able to access the same quality materials as their classmates, this brings up an immediate issue of equity. I'm trying to work from home and follow all social distancing and stay-at-home protocols. However, this lack of adequate internet access makes it very difficult to do the teaching I love and want to do. Most importantly, it makes learning even more difficult for our students. Some days I struggle to get any content uploaded to Google Classroom. Most days I end up losing hours of my own hard work that is not able to be saved sometimes on cloud-based yet educational applications. Hours and hours of planning and working have been lost, hours spent trying to prepare great instruction for my students, and time that I could have spent teaching. So I support this amendment that would allow for some funding to be used to provide adequate access for educators and for our students. Thank you, Chair and committee members, for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you, Ms. Kofa, or thank you, Ms. Strand. Ms. Burt, are there any comments from the public that were emailed to you that relate to the A14 amendment as incorporated?
Madam Chair, there were not.
Okay, thank you very much. Members, are there any questions for the testifiers? Okay, hearing none, I understand that there are 3 other amendments before the committee, the A15, the A16, and the A18. Who would like to offer the A15?
Madam Chair, that's mine. Jergens, I'd like to move the A15 amendment.
Very good. Representative Jergens moves the A15 amendment. Please explain your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What the A15 amendment does, the school meal language in House File 4415 would pay out to each school based on the number of meals served under the summer food program beginning after March 17th. The A15 amendment intends to pay out the school meal aid based on anticipated forecasts so that schools receive the amount of aid that meal aid that they likely would have budgeted for based on their anticipated number of meals served for a regular school year. One other comment. That's the amendment, Madam Chair.
Very good. Are there any questions to the amendment? Okay, hearing none. Rep. Juergens moves the A15 amendment be adopted. Are there any questions to the motion? Hearing none, the clerk will take the roll and your lines will be unmuted.
Madam Chair.
Representative Gadney.
Just out of respect for Representative Juergens and the committee, I'd just like to state that I will be voting against the A15 amendments. The language in the bill, by the difference between the congregate dining practice that is the norm during the school year that Representative Juergens' amendment would have us continue to fund, and the summer food program that districts are offering instead at this time, is the summer food program allows districts and compensates districts for meals for all children under the age of 18 in their community. And at a time when we've got such a significant spike in unemployment, a district being able to feed not only the third grader, but provide food to that family for the preschooler as well, I think is an important to supporting school-age children and their entire families. So that is why I will be voting no on the Juergens A15 amendment. My apologies.
No, thank you very much. Ms. Sunderland, you may take the roll.
Representative Dabney.
No.
Representative Sandsted.
No.
Representative Kreisha.
Yes, aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Aye.
Representative Damon.
Aye.
Representative Damon.
Aye.
Representative Detmer.
Aye.
Representative Edelson.
No.
Representative Erickson.
Aye.
Representative Hewitt.
No.
Representative Juergens.
Aye.
Representative Katiza Watoon.
No.
Representative Kinesh Padin.
No.
Representative Marquardt.
No.
Representative Murphy.
No.
Representative Nornes.
Yes.
Representative Pryor.
No.
Representative Richardson.
No.
Representative Sandel.
No.
Representative Joachim.
No.
Okay, give me just a quick second here. With 8 yay and 12 nay, it does not pass.
Thank you. Hearing 8 yeas and 12 nays, this motion does not pass. Next up, we have the A16 amendment. Who would like to offer the A16?
Madam Chair, Representative Erickson offers the A16 amendment.
Very good. Representative Erickson offers the A16. Would you explain your amendment, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And I think first I'd like to offer an oral amendment through an email from Representative Dabney. There's perhaps need for a little bit more oversight by the commissioner. So members, in line 1.22, and I'd like to incorporate this if that's okay, strike the words allowable uses and fund and insert process for approval of fund. And that's my oral amendment that I'd like to incorporate just to make this amendment and the commissioner's guidance a little bit more specific.
Very good. Representative Erickson, again, just to verify this, strike line 2.2, or strike allowable uses and fund and then insert process for approval of fund.
That is correct, Madam Chair.
Okay.
And Madam Chair.
Representative Kreshaw.
Oh, sorry. I was looking for the raise your hand. So whenever you're ready to recognize me.
Representative Kreshaw, go ahead.
Thank you. I would just like to say that I support this. I think the oral amendment is the right approach, and had a conversation with Chair Dabney, and I think we're in agreement on that. And I just wanted to thank for that quick, timely conversation we had to get us to this point. So I support the oral amendment and the amendment.
Thank you for that. Staff be directed to make should be directed to make technical and conforming changes as necessary. Mr. Strom, would you please point out for the committee and the CLA which line this oral amendment relates to?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Strom.
This amendment is on line 1.22, and we just want to make sure that the case, the plural case lines up right, and that we've got the right number of ands in the sentence. But it's just to make sure that that language fits. My apologies for the delay.
No, very good. Representative Erickson, will you make a motion to move your oral amendment?
Madam Chair, I do so move approval and would like to incorporate this change into the A16 amendment that Mr. Strom has just verified.
Very good. Members, we will take a roll call on this oral amendment.
No, just...
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Dabney.
Madam Chair, thank you. First, let me thank Representative Erickson and Representative Kreshaw for their collaborative approach. I appreciate the oral amendment, and since she has incorporated it, I don't believe we need to have a vote on the incorporation, and I will be supporting the amendment as amended.
Okay. Representative Erickson, would you
So, Madam Chair, may I explain the amendment?
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The reason we've brought forth the A16 amendment is to provide more flexibility for our school districts as they consider fund balances found in accounts, you know, that are not already assigned to or encumbered by staff salary benefits or otherwise encumbered by federal law, like our nutrition account. So that's in subdivision one, that the fund and account transfers are allowed. In subdivision two, this fund or account transfer cannot provide for an effect on aid or levy. That would be negative effect, of course. And in subdivision three, we have given accountability, local accountability, to our boards. And finally, in subdivision four, which was just orally amended, accountability for the sake of the commissioner, so that she is engaged with this process for the approval of the funds balances. Excuse me.
Very good. Okay. Right now, Representative Erickson moves the A16 amendment as amended by the oral amendment to be adopted. Are there any questions on the motion? Okay, hearing none, we will take a roll call on the amendment as amended.
Representative Dabney.
Aye.
Representative Sandsted.
Aye.
Representative Kreisha.
Kreisha, aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Aye.
Representative Damuth.
Aye.
Representative aye. Detmer.
Detmer, aye.
Representative Edelson.
Aye.
Representative Erickson.
Aye.
Representative Hewitt.
Aye.
Representative Juergens.
Aye.
Representative Katiza Watoon.
Aye.
Representative Kanesh Padin.
Aye.
Representative Marquardt.
Aye.
Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Nornes.
Aye.
Representative Pryor.
Aye.
Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Representative Sandell.
Aye.
Representative Joachim.
Aye.
The motion passed with 20 ayes and zero nays.
Very good. Next, we have an A18 amendment. Who would like to author or offer the A18?
Representative Sandsted, Madam Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to clarify that when Mr. Strom made his verification of the oral amendment, he did add an extra and so that the oral amendment read process for approval of fund and account balance transfers. And I appreciated that. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you for that. So noted. We do have the A18 amendment. Who would like to offer the A18?
Representative Kreisha.
Representative Kreisha, to your amendment.
Thank you. And thank you, members. The A18 amendment should look very familiar. It's actually taken from the administration's guidance on distance learning regarding the use and continued pay for school employees. As we've been walking through this bill and this process, however many weeks this has been, I think it's common knowledge that we're trying to figure out how we continue to protect our workers so that they have some certainty, as well as give the schools some certainty, and also knowing that the governor has numbers in front of him that he has to look at as far as what the worst case scenarios are. And in respect of all that, we've been working through what the effects of this are going to be. And frankly, I don't know that anybody knows. And this continues to be a very difficult guessing game. So as testimony has happened in many other committees, and we've gotten to the language in this bill, I find that we're at a crossroads in the language where we have it already stated and acknowledged that the bill that we have in front of us, the language we have, doesn't prevent school layoffs. So if a school needs to go into a situation where they need to lay off or furlough or remove someone because of some type of employment situation, we can't prevent that. And I don't know that we want to in the sense that some schools need to make some very difficult decisions that we probably can't control. On the other side of that, I'm not sure the language is as flexible as I'm hearing schools are needing right now. I'll give you a couple of examples of things that I've heard. And this may just be a difference of interpretation, so this is why we're coming up with this amendment. In Swanville, Minnesota, I talked to the superintendent there who I see the shadow, sorry, by the way, of the sun. They have an employee who has an elderly parent with them, and they, rather than looking at reductions of hours, they're trying to trade hours off. And what he's done is, they're trying to find ways to where they can reduce hours now, but then bank those hours after June or July as we figure out what this is going to this effect is going to be. And I'm not sure that flexibility is there in the language today. The other one, and I'll try to speak accurately on St. Cloud issue that we heard, where we have hourly employees who have other jobs, and because of the 600, or because of the unemployment and the stimulus money, they're trying to take advantage of that because their outside jobs are being reduced. So in other words, you may have an hourly employee at a school district who could be working a second or third job, as many of us have done in our early years or still doing, and they're asking to have their hours reduced so that they can qualify for these other stimulus dollars, and schools may not be able to reduce them under the language we have here, or they may not be able to do it easily or feel comfortable without getting into some type of worry about how that would affect the employees. So in looking at that, it came to the conclusion that the MDE guidance is probably the safest approach right now. And it's the one that gives maximum flexibility and allows the schools to work within the best confines. The other thing that brought this amendment to light for us was Commissioner Franz in Ways and Means, when asked about the governor's approach on employees and how he wanted to help schools, what he said was the governor is waiting for federal dollars to see how that's going to affect the schools. And that's why the governor has been silent on this. And all of that combined has put this amendment into action to where, frankly, I'm not sure we have enough information to create really tight language for our schools. And so we walked back a little bit saying, why don't we go to an agreeable point, which is the guidance from the MDE, and that's why you have the amendment in front of you. So I'm trying to thread a very collaborative needle here where we've been trying to all do the right thing, but at the same time, we continually hear from what's happening in the schools about their finances and their worries and all that. And so this amendment is our offering to say, maybe we come back from the thin ice a little bit to where we can all stand comfortably until we know more. And that's the A18 amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, are there any questions to the amendment? Okay, hearing none. Representative Kreisha moves the A18 amendment be adopted. Are there any questions to the motion? Hearing none or seeing none, at this time, the clerk will take the roll.
Madam Chair?
Representative Dabney.
Before Ms. Templeton proceeds, again, I want to thank Representative Kreisha for his collaborative efforts. And I do think that he identified the situation correctly. We're trying to thread a bunch of needles here. I think at least, 355 school district needles and another 160 or some charter school needles all at the same time. And that is probably impossible, quite frankly. But I think the language in the bill is a little clearer, a little brighter of a line for folks that they can reference against. So I would ask for a no vote on the Kreisha amendment. Thank you.
Very good. Any other member questions? Okay, at this time, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Dabney.
No.
Representative Sandsted.
No.
Representative Kreisha.
Aye. Kreisha votes aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Aye.
Representative Damuth.
Aye.
Representative Detmer.
Detmer, aye.
Representative Edelson.
No.
Representative Erickson.
Aye.
Representative Hewitt.
No.
Representative Jurgens.
Aye.
Representative Katiza-Watoon.
No.
Representative Kinesh Padin.
No.
Representative Marquardt.
No.
Representative Murphy.
No.
Representative Nornes?
Yes.
Representative Pryor?
No.
Representative Richardson?
No.
Representative Sandel?
No.
Representative Joaquin?
No.
Okay, give me just a second. With 12 nays and 8 yeas, it does not pass.
With 8 ayes and 12 nays, the motion does not pass. Members of the public, or are there any other questions from the public? Ms. Burt?
I do not see any requests from the public for testimony.
Okay, at this time, seeing no more amendments before the committee, Representative Dabney renews his motion to refer House File 4415 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, we will take the roll.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I didn't. Are you going to allow for comments?
Absolutely. Representative Kreshaw.
Okay, thank you. So just very briefly, I just wanted to, first of all, thank everyone involved. This has been a very collaborative process, and I don't think we're at the end of this journey. We're still on it. I just wanted to offer a couple of comments because I believe we're going to see a difference of votes here, not on whether or not it's a goal, it's whether it's approach. And I just want to say that the amendment that we offered, the A18, would give some guidance issued by MDE, and that's what we were trying to do. It is important to remember that while our schools remain largely empty of students during this distance learning period, our schools are still in session, teachers are still teaching, paraprofessionals are still serving students and supporting operations, nutrition staff are feeding children, bus drivers are providing transportation, janitorial staff, all of that and doing things that we never imagined they would have to do, and it's so vitally important. Looking for clarification so there's no misunderstanding, as long as school employees are performing the essential functions as ordered by the governor, those employees should be paid with the continuing regular state aid payments still flowing to the schools. I think we're all in agreement of trying to get there. I think that we have two approaches. And one side with the guidance that we've already seen from MDE has a little bit more certainty right now. I don't disagree that the language in front of us is also trying to get there. I just don't know if it's the certainty is completely there yet. And I think we have some fiscal impacts that could be coming. So for that reason, I'm glad we're working on this process. I'm glad we're on this journey. This is probably one of the tougher no votes I'll take, but I am recommending a no on final passage of the language. Hopefully we can get to some more compromise down the road. And I just want to thank Chair Dabney and Chair Joaquim and the staff for getting us this far along.
Very good. Any other member comments? Okay, and with that, hearing no more comments, Rep. Dabney renews his motion to refer House File 4415 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. And now we will take the roll.
Representative Dabney.
Aye.
Representative Sandsted.
Aye.
Representative Kreshaw.
Kreshaw votes no.
Representative Bennett.
No.
Representative Daniels.
Daniels votes no.
Representative Damath.
No.
Representative Detmer.
Detmer votes no. Votes no.
Representative Edelson.
Aye.
Representative Erickson.
No.
Representative Hewitt.
Aye.
Representative Juergens.
Nay.
Representative Katiza Watoon. Representative Katiza Watoon.
No.
Representative Kinesh Padin.
Aye.
Representative Marquardt.
Aye.
Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Nornes.
No.
Representative Pryor.
Pryor, aye.
Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Representative Sandell.
Aye.
Representative Joachim.
Aye.
Excuse me, Brittany.
Yep.
I apologize. I'd like to change my vote. I would like to vote aye.
I wondered.
The children in the background distracted me, and I apologize.
So with 12 ayes and 8 nays, it does pass.
Thank you. With 12 ayes and 8 nays, the motion passes, and House File 4415, as amended, will be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And at this time, I'm going to pass the gavel back to Representative Dabney.
You better unmute the chair.
I sound better this way. Thank you very much, Representative Sandsteed. Next on the agenda is House File 3192 of Representative Fabian's. Members, reminder, this is a fund transfer bill for the Marshall School District. It was brought before the committee on March 4th. Today we're bringing it back with a recommendation to refer it to the General Register. Representative Kreisha, would you like to make a motion to bring House File 3192 before the committee with a recommendation to be referred to the General Register?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will make that motion.
Thank you very much. And will the committee clerk please take a roll on the motion? Or should we just move to testimony on the bill? Let's just go to testimony on the bill. Representative Fabian, before we move to that, I'd like to state for the record that you have a good friend in Representative Pinto. Going forward, any fund transfer bills such as this that relate to early childhood accounts need to first be heard in the Early Childhood Subcommittee. We're moving House File 3192 to the General Register today, pending the vote, of course, because the end of session is near and we're in such an unusual operational phase for the session. Representative Pinto has reviewed the bill and is comfortable with that decision and is not requesting that the bill be re-referred to Early Childhood. But in future sessions, a bill like House File 3192 would make a stop first in the Early Childhood Committee. With that, Representative Fabian, welcome to the committee. One moment. Would you like to make any comments on the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to be before the committee in this Zoom faction. This is a bill that has been heard, as you said. The Marshall County Central School Superintendent Jeffrey Lund approached me some time ago with the concern that he has about transferring some funds. They have a surplus in their early childhood family education fund of about $45,000. They have a shortage in their school readiness reserve account. So what they simply want to do, based on the needs in their district, they want to shift that surplus from the ECFE reserve account to the school readiness reserve account, so that they can continue to provide the services that are most commonly used in their school district. And they would like for, obviously, that transfer to happen June 30th of 2020. And as everyone knows probably, that both of these accounts rest inside of the community service account, so, or community service fund. And that's simply what it is.
Thank you very much, Representative Fabian. Questions from members? Seeing none, we've already taken testimony on the bill. This is a public hearing, however. Are there any members of the public who would like to testify regarding House File 3192? Ms. Bird?
There are not.
They're not. All right. With that, Representative Kreischer renews his motion that House File 3192 be passed and referred to the General Register. Ms. Sunderland, would you please take the roll?
Representative Dabney.
Aye.
Representative Sandsted.
Aye.
Representative Kreischer.
Representative Fabian, I'm so conflicted. I'll vote aye.
Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Daniels.
Daniels votes aye.
Representative Damath.
Aye.
Representative Detmer.
Aye.
Representative Edelson.
Aye.
Representative Erickson.
Aye.
Representative Hewitt.
Aye.
Representative Juergens.
Thank you for your patience, Representative Fabian. Juergens votes aye.
Representative Katiza Watoon.
Aye.
Representative Kinesh Padin. Representative Kinesh Padin.
Aye.
Representative Marcourt.
Aye.
Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Nornes.
Aye.
Representative Pryor.
Pryor, aye.
Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Representative Sandell.
Aye.
Representative Joachim.
Aye.
With 20 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sunderland. Representative Fabian, thank you for visiting the committee from Roseau.
Thank you. It's nice up here. And just so Representative Marcourt knows, too, there's a little portion in that bill that does full conformity on 179 with retroactivity. I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Representative Fabian. It's an inside tax joke, folks. And
yeah.
If you didn't laugh, you're probably better off than those of us who did. Members, that concludes our business for the day. I want to thank you all for joining us. I want to thank members of the public and the testifiers for engaging in the process as well. You can anticipate a meeting again this Thursday at 9:45. Ms. Burt, I believe, will be posting that later today, considering several bills at that time. So I look forward to seeing all of your smiling faces again Thursday morning.
And Mr. Chair?
Oh, Representative Kreischer.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, did we move the minutes?
We did not.
Thank you. I just thought we should, housekeeping.
Well done. Representative Kreischer, would you like to move the minutes?
I will move the minutes.
And from which meeting do we have a date? Ms. Sunderland, do you know the date of the minutes that Representative Kreischer is moving?
I don't believe we have minutes to approve right now.
Well,
didn't we have a meeting?
We did. It doesn't look like we have minutes to the meeting.
Okay.
We'll take another look at that on Thursday. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. With that, members, we are adjourned. Thank you all very much.